You're listening to Toronto's number one real estate podcast, powered by Watson Estates. The most successful local real estate investing starts right here, right now. Here's your host, broker, investor, and social media influencer, Bradley Watson.
Hey investors, Bradley here from Watson Estates, and you're listening to the largest, fastest growing podcast for Toronto real estate on iTunes, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. If you've been following our show, you're aware the working from home trend is alive and well. People are running away from the city into these tertiary markets, places like Chatham, Ontario. That is where the investors that I'm speaking with today are focused all of their attention. We're talking to Jeremy Ivany, Taylor Sears. They're 24 years old, and in under 2 years of investing, they've acquired 16 properties and 48 rental units. Everything from single family homes up to a 12-plex. I was able to chat with them about kind of some of the obstacles that they faced in the little time that they've been investing, but why they've been aggressively growing their portfolio. These are guys to keep an eye on. I think it's important that we know what's going on in our market, but it's also important to get inspired by folks, young or old, that are able to dominate in the real estate market. Enjoy the show. Jeremy, Taylor, how you guys doing today? Thanks for joining us on the show.
Good, thank you.
I am so excited to have you guys on. I know you guys are commonly on podcasts, sharing some of your journey, some of your successes, and you guys have had a great deal of success at pretty young age. And so today I want to have you guys be able to share your opportunities. We've got a lot of investors on the show that are kind of sitting back and watching, and I just love having people who are doing really well and have had a lot of success. I'm sure with COVID and where you guys are investing have done quite well. So if you guys could maybe start us off, tell us a little bit about your story, maybe your unique roles as you guys have partnered together to really do some damage in the real estate market.
Yeah, I can start off first. So I'm Jeremy Ivany. I'm 24 years old, and this is Taylor. She's 23 years old. We've been investing for just under 2 years. And to date, we've grown to 16 properties across 48 rental units, and we're continuing to grow month over month, never holding back. So what we primarily do is the BRRRR model, but now we're really getting into some larger multifamily buildings. We just acquired a 12-plex. So my active role is kind of managing the projects, trying to acquire properties, whereas Taylor does more of the behind the scenes property management, taxes, all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Awesome. So are you guys doing this full time, or do you have other things on the go as well outside of real estate?
Yeah. So Jeremy does this full time now. He is an electrician, but was laid off during COVID. And when he had the opportunity to go back to work, he chose not to. So now he's doing real estate full time, and I'm working full time as a DSW. So Jeremy's in Chatham basically Monday to Friday. And then I'm just working on evenings and weekends.
So is it safe to say that COVID has really ramped things up then for you, Jeremy? Because it sounds like you've gone both feet in since this
absolutely
all started.
Yeah, like getting into real estate, that was my big goal, was I wanted to quit my day job. And then when getting laid off with COVID, I was laid off for 3 weeks, and then I had the opportunity throughout those 3 weeks to really see, like, hey, this is very scalable when you're doing it full time, or you're putting more attention to it rather than just, you know, on weeknights or on weekends. Yeah. So when I had, like Taylor said, when I had the opportunity to go back to work, I said, I can't do this. I think it's more risky to go back to work and not fulfill my dreams versus, you know, just going for it. And we were young enough too, right? We knew, hey, look, we can fail, and, you know, we still have a lot of time to start over and really grow something. So it just made a lot of sense for us.
Yeah. And that's a lot of properties on the go, right? Like you said you have 14 in 2 years,
16
in 2 years. And yeah. So how many of them are you rolling at one time? Is this just a matter of really quick timelines, or are there multiple projects that you guys are managing?
Yeah, I think at any given time, the most we've had on the go is 4 projects. But again, like, we have really quick turnarounds with some of our renovations. I mean, for example, a house we just were just completing now, it was basically a full gut back to the studs, and that was like a 10-week project. So we're moving pretty quickly with some of these renovations, which allows us to, you know, turn over a lot of units to really help scale.
Cool. All right. So you guys got to tell me what got you interested in real estate. Was it that you had the electrical background, or what kind of tipped your fancy, made you say, you know what, this is what we want to do together?
Jeremy was the one that originally started to get in. I was not on the same page as him from the beginning. He was really gung-ho. I guess you can talk about how we were in Alberta.
Yeah, when I was in Alberta. So when I was 18, I moved out to Alberta, and I wanted to be in a career where I could make a lot of money. So I went out, worked in the oil sands. And the person I was renting a house from, he was a real estate investor. He was, I'm pretty sure he was 21 years old at the time. He had multiple properties that he rented out to everybody working in the oil fields and was making really good money. So that was like an eye-opening moment for me, you know, realizing like, hey, we can buy these assets that are going to pay us cash flow month over month. That's really what got me interested in it. But it wasn't until we were really 21, buying our first primary residence after I moved back from Alberta. And, you know, we bought it under market value. We went in there, we did renovations to it, and we were able to basically build up the asset $150,000 over the first year. So that was really an eye-opening moment for us then, right? Do we want to work, you know, 40 hours a week all year long and make, you know, collectively 100,000, or do we want to do a couple of these properties a year and, you know, make double, triple that? So
you guys drank the juice. You got a taste of the juice. I love that. So 21 was the first, good for you guys. My first property we bought was at the age of 23. And it took me until now I'm 30 and I'm just realizing, holy smokes, there's the opportunity is so big. Mm-hmm. And so it's good for you to identify it so slow. And I think it's really interesting how fast you guys have grown. I'm curious, I guess, why are you so aggressive in the growth and how, like, what are you doing differently than your counterparts, people you see around you that are growing maybe slow and steady? I'm curious to see kind of both sides, because I'm sure you guys get praised for the aggressive growth all the time. I'm curious, like, how do you sustain that? How do you, like, why so fast?
Yeah. I think, well, first we were able to because we picked a market that was affordable and was scalable. So there are so many markets out there and a lot of them are very expensive, which is not necessarily a scalable market when you're 20 years old or at really at any age, depending on where you are in life. So we picked Chatham, which was a low barrier to entry. We could hold mortgages in our personal name and we're able to hold quite a few and do the BRRRR model successfully.
Yeah. And we're quite competitive people. I know, especially for myself, I don't try to compete with people, but naturally it's just something that happens. And so that was another thing too. But like we were saying earlier, my big goal was I want to quit my day job, you know, from when we started to when I quit was 3 years. I had that was my timeline. I think it ended up happening 8 months after we started investing. But again, it's just like, we're just very competitive people and we always are trying to, like, you know, better our lives. And I mean, even now, like, one of our goals is we want to, you know, in the next 2 or 3 years, we want to be able to, you know, have a really passive portfolio where we can kind of just do whatever we want in life. We have big travel plans. We want to have a big family. So we're trying to just set everything up now so that later in life, we don't really have to worry. So that's really why we try to grow as aggressively as possible.
Freedom 28, something like that. I love it. So, I mean, that's great. I love that response, right? Like, honestly, if you go into some of these smaller, easier to enter markets, you can accomplish more quicker. Even still, I mean, any investor could tell you that there is a limit, right? Eventually you run out of capital, you run out of the ability to qualify. I mean, now that you're full-time as well, that makes it a little bit more challenging. So how do you continue to grow? Are you at a point where you're still able to fund these, or have you started getting a little more creative with how you build it out?
Yeah, we've been really fortunate. Our market's appreciated a lot over the past 2 years, like many other markets. So naturally, you know, properties we bought, you know, at the beginning of our portfolio, we're now able to refinance, really didn't even have to do any work to them. And they're like, you know, full BRRRRs. And we, you know, we're getting paid as well on the back end. So that's how we're able to fund some of our deals now. Of course, you know, just through sharing on social media, day in, day out, naturally people, you know, want to lend us private money. They want to do joint ventures with us. So we've done a few joint ventures. I think we have 5 and then the rest is in our personal name. Now we're able to go through credit unions to still fund some of our or finance some of our deals. But then really after we bought our first and second property, we ran out of money. And then we bought our third property, not even really realizing. We just had the bug. We're like, this is so cool. Let's keep buying more properties. We didn't even have the money. So that was like our first time we had to borrow capital to fund one of the deals. And it ended up being a really good burst. So then we realized, hey, look, if we can purchase these properties under market value, go in there, renovate them quickly, rent them out, refinance them, it's a very scalable model. So yeah,
absolutely. I think at this point, we've realized, like, obviously you are running out of money and mortgage qualification. So in terms of mortgage qualification, we kind of shifted into more joint ventures. In terms of money, we're kind of focusing on how to get more active income rather than just passive through BRRRRs. or long-term rentals. So focusing on a couple flips, some wholesales, coaching, getting a little more active in that.
A little bit of everything. Now you guys are in only Chatham, or are you stretched out as well?
Specifically Chatham. And I think it will stay like that for the foreseeable future, because we like to, and this is something we talk to a lot of our coaching students about, is if you're the expert in one market, anytime a good deal comes up, people are going to think of you naturally. I mean, we don't even need to be subscribed to wholesalers list. And anytime a deal comes out, we have 4 or 5, sometimes even 10 emails, people, you know, just sending it our way, just saying, hey, did you see this deal? So that's why we like to stay the experts in our market. And then we can really identify a good deal when it comes up. So anytime that I'm going to look at off-market deals, because we're not in various markets, I understand what a duplex in this area is going to sell for. I understand what a triplex in the better area is going to sell for, right? We're the experts. So we're able to make more quick, more calculated decisions versus people who are just kind of spread out.
Cool. Yeah, I can see that totally. Okay. So you quickly, as you were in your last answer, you were saying you make other money on the back end. I'm curious what that kind of looks like as you're rolling these projects. Where does that come from specifically? Is that from the renovation? Are you managing the reno? Are you on the property management side? Like, what other things are happening that's also generating income beyond just equity through these BRRRs?
Yeah, so I'm really active on a lot of the renovation projects too. Even basically up till now, I'm still there day in, day out, you know, working on some of these renovations. So we're able to save a lot of money on that. We property manage all of our own properties. So again, we're able to save on that in that respect as well. And then again, we're finding a lot of these properties, you know, significantly under market value because we're doing a lot of off-market deals. I want to say our last 7 deals have all been off-market. So primarily at the beginning, you know, we were doing a lot more MLS because off-market seemed, you know, out of reach. It seemed like something we might not be able to do. But then obviously, naturally, you know, just becoming more involved in the city, you know, meeting other people, we're able to find a lot of good deals. So let's
dig into that a little bit. So where are you locating them? Are they getting, because you mentioned wholesalers, so I'm guessing wholesalers is one avenue. How other, and especially with COVID, like how have you been able to network with folks to find access to these properties? Like what are the rocks that you're looking under to find them?
So we haven't actually bought any from a wholesaler. No. So MLS was our main at the beginning. And then since then, flyering has probably been like our main source. And then just networking, like we'll pay someone a finder's fee if a property manager gives us a lead, we close on it. Or even if they get us into a property, we'll pay a little bit of finder's fee to the property manager. And in Chatham, I felt like COVID is very different in Toronto than it is in small towns, right? So people are still okay with you walking through their house with a mask on. There wasn't as much of like that fear in Chatham, I found. So
yeah, but money talks. So one of the ways we've been generating a lot of leads lately is through property managers. And, you know, just saying we'll pay you a really aggressive finder's fee if you just connect me with some of these properties. So for example, going back just 3 weeks, my realtor reached out to me, I think just to like, you know, just bug me a little bit and said, hey, Jeremy, you haven't been getting any off-market leads lately. And this was like, I had like 2 weeks where I couldn't find anything. So instantly, like naturally, just being, you know, the competitive person I am, I was like, okay, let's think about this for a second. Who can I talk to get a lead? And that night we got a call from our flyer. We were able to tie up a deal the following day. But also that night, I reached out to the property managers I knew and I said, hey, look, I know I used to tell you I'd give you $1,000 for a lead. I'm now willing to pay you $2,000. That following weekend, we went and looked at 2 properties. And what was interesting about that, the property managers showed me through the property. Of course, I told him I wouldn't pay him, obviously, until we tie something up and close on it. But I just paid him $250 for taking an hour out of a Saturday to show me a couple properties. And as soon as he accepted the money, the next message he sent to me was, do you want to go look at some fourplexes next weekend? So again, just having these relationships with people and letting them know, like, I'm willing to compensate you for what you do for me. And I really respect that. So
incentivize them, man.
That's really bloody smart, man. That's smart. You're the first person I've heard say that going direct or almost you're using them as kind of a bird dog, like the property management company. That's smart. Love it. I love it. Okay, so people, you guys got to keep an eye on these guys. They're obviously tearing it up, and I'm excited to see where things go with you. But I'm also curious to see, like, kind of what kind of obstacles. I think there's a lot we can learn from seeing some of the heartache and challenges that you faced. Maybe something a little more damaging than not having a deal for 2 weeks. Like, there's got to be something where you're like, okay, that was a big blow, but that you were able to overcome.
Yeah,
I would say, yeah, we had a property that we had purchased with partners that had bad tenants, and we knew they were bad tenants when we had purchased the property. Of course, we were the active partners on this property, so we were the ones dealing with the tenants. And I think that was very stressful. That was our first time having like drug dealers and people that were really dangerous in our property. So that was stressful. There was a fire in that building. There was just a lot. That building was kind of
set us back. What happened? Yeah, it set us back for a while, because for that 2 months we were dealing with this property, you know, we weren't acquiring more assets. We weren't, you know, everything was kind of falling behind because there was so much attention focused on this one property. But again, you know, Taylor and I, like, we met together all the time, just trying to figure out how we can turn over this property, because again, we had partners on it. So we wanted to, you know, build up the asset to what we promised we would. So it was, you know, stressful for us in that sense, because, you know, again, we like everything to kind of be perfect. And if it's not, you know, usually it frustrates us both. So that was definitely, I think, one of the biggest things. We were able to get 3 out of the 4 tenants out of that building, renovate it. And now actually we own the assets solely versus with the partners, which the outcome was a lot better than what we expected.
Yeah, we definitely grew some thicker skin and like learned some tenant management and like getting used to the LTB and things like that. But I think it's worth it. And we've also realized, like, we put an offer in on other properties and we're like, do we have like the capacity to handle these bad tenants right now? Right. We can do it, but like, do we want to do it at this point? When does it make worth sense it? For us?
Exactly. Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. And now, have you found with some of the government interfering a little bit with evictions? I mean, while we're recording this, actually, we're in another eviction ban. I mean, this is just nonstop. Did you run into that with that same tenant? Was that all part of that process?
Yeah. Basically,
we had to pay them.
Yeah. We filed for eviction, but we were able to get them leave before we had any progress.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. And so you still have that property, that one?
Yes. Yeah.
Do you find you're able to still find properties that you can get a full BRRRR where you get all the money back?
Absolutely.
Today? You're still able to make that happen, eh?
Absolutely.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So as you've grown, I'm curious, what are some of the biggest things? Like, obviously you guys have each other, but what are some of the biggest things that have supported you? Like, I know, though I wasn't doing the type of deals you guys are doing at your age, I started my real estate career at that time. And I know being young seem to be a liability. I mean, you work with what you've got, but I'm wondering if these pressures are there, and what have been some of the big factors that have really pushed you and kind of kept that competitive nature going, you know?
Yeah. One of the things that's been, I think, instrumental, and we try and tell everybody that we can about this, is we had big goals coming into this year. And we had, and really what that looked like is we broke it down into quarters. And then what we tried to do is break it down into weekly actions to meet these goals. And midway through January, we both kind of were talking with each other, and we said, we're not really, you know, going, we're not pushing towards these goals as aggressively as we should. So Taylor had this idea where every Saturday, let's get together for an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours. Let's discuss all of our quarterly goals. And let's discuss, you know, what do we need to do next week to push us one step closer. So that has been instrumental. Like, some of our goals was we wanted to do our first wholesale deal in the first quarter. We did 4. We wanted to buy 1 or 2 properties. We bought 4. So again, just because we were on top of each other every single week, we had specific actions we had to complete. That's definitely been the biggest thing, I think, for us. And going forward, I think it's going to still be the biggest thing for us.
Yeah. You guys are focused. I can tell you're focused.
We are.
Now, you mentioned you're getting into multis. You bought a 12-plex. So what comes next? Like, where do we go from here? Are you guys still doing residential? Are you focusing strictly on commercial apartments only, other types of commercial?
Really? We're just anything that's a deal at this point, we want to acquire. We understand our market well enough to, you know, if there's a good deal, we're not just going to let it go by. I mean, like I said, we did do a couple of wholesales. So there has been times where we've let go of some assets, but As long as it's within like something we're comfortable with, you know, like a flip or a duplex that's under market value or a fourplex under market value, we're still going to pick them up. We are trying to focus more of our attention on some of the larger assets because, you know, having a lot of these converted dwellings, you know, there's always issues within these buildings. So, I mean, now switching it over to the larger multifamily space, some of these purpose-built buildings, you realize those issues don't happen in these buildings. So that's really where we're trying to focus our attention. But
yeah. Awesome. Okay, guys. Well, this has been really cool. And I love seeing folks out there that are killing it and doing a really good job out there. And now I'm sure people are listening and they're saying, wait, I want to invest in Chatham, or they have questions about the market. Cause a lot of our listeners are closer to downtown. And I think you struck a chord with some people when you said, you know what, you can get started faster in these outskirt communities. Mm-hmm. So where can people find you? And if they have questions or want to connect with the two of you, where are they best to reach you?
I think definitely Instagram. That's where I'm most active. And I think Taylor is as well. So my Instagram handle is Jeremy Ivany. You'll see my page of it's all renovations and all that good stuff. So you can't miss it.
Yeah, mine's TaylJean. And you can also email us at tayjrealestate@hotmail.com.
Awesome.
Guys, it's been really cool. Really appreciate you taking time to come and teach us a little bit about some of the things going on. And I look forward to watching you the next few years, and we'll celebrate your retirement in the next few years.
Awesome. Yeah. Thanks for having us on.
All right. Take care.